Actually, you can remain seated.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Christmas is about miracles. A miracle is something that cannot happen unless God intervenes. Miracles are the impossible happening. When we tell someone about a miracle, they might well respond, "But that's impossible." But with God, nothing is impossible. He regularly makes the impossible happen. A lot of people do not want to believe that God can do the impossible, and so they do not believe in miracles either. But let us look carefully at the miracles of Christmas, with the help of the children's recitations, and let us see the Christmas miracles that the Word of God reveals. Christmas is about the birth of Christ, but the first miracle happens long before Christ was born. Even long before Mary, his mother, was born. At the fall of man, God gave to man the promise of a Savior. He repeated that promise through his prophets many times. Through the years, he added details about the many things that would happen when Christ, the anointed Savior, was born. And so our first Christmas miracle is the miracle of prophecies fulfilled.
And I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15.
Behold, the days are coming, saith Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved, and all Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Therefore, the Lord... unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order and to establish the judgment and the justice. From this time forth, even the public, fill the world host, hope.
But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Jews, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be, the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a son. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Was made before Christ would be born, and this time the prophecy did not come through a prophet of God. It came through an angel, directly to the Virgin Mary. That angel Gabriel announced to Mary the next Christmas miracle. Mary, having never been with a man, would become the mother of Jesus. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.
And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God."
Morning stars together proclaim.
Isaiah had foretold that it would be so. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The angel Gabriel confirmed the promise and announced that Mary would be that virgin. God's promises are sure. What he says must come to pass. And now the fullness of the time had come.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the towns of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went to register with Mary because she was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to a firstborn, her son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company at the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men."
Once the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Once they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard what the shepherds said to them were amazed. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. When the shepherds returned, praising God and glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen were just as they had been told.
Watch their flocks by night.
child Jesus grew, and his parents obeyed all the ceremonial laws. When he was 8 days old, the child was circumcised. At the age of 12, as was required in the Mosaic law, he began to keep the annual Passover feast at Jerusalem. All these things were normal for a Jewish child, but Jesus was no ordinary child. How easy it is for human beings to become complacent in the face of a miracle. Even his mother and his stepfather failed to keep in mind the truth that Jesus' father was God himself. When Mary and Joseph discovered that they had inadvertently left Jesus behind in Jerusalem after the Passover, they went back and frantically searched for him. It did not dawn on them until after they had searched for 3 days to check for Jesus in the one place where he was most likely to be.
Now after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed and said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? For we have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he said to them. And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and found favor with God and men.
Shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Mary no doubt pondered those words of the angel many times as she thought about what Jesus said in the temple. "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" His Father was God. How can that be? That is impossible. That is as impossible as a virgin giving birth. But let us remember again the prophecy of Isaiah. "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, a very important and meaningful name. It means God with us. It is one of the names of Jesus, and he fully lives up to that name. He is God come down in human flesh, God and man in one purpose, in one person, God with us. Surely this is an exceedingly great miracle of Christmas.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Prophesied, his virgin birth and his divine and human natures were foretold, and in the fullness of the time he came. But why did he come? Often when the Christmas story is told, this question is left unanswered. What is the reason for his coming? The answer is truly the greatest Christmas miracle of them all. It is the miracle of our salvation. He who is God came as man so that he might die for all men. He made himself obedient to all the laws of God, including the law that says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And though Jesus himself did no sin, yet our sins were placed upon him, and so he also had to die. But when he submitted to death, the blood guilt of our sin died with him. He set us free from sin. He came on earth to be our Savior, to give us the gift of everlasting life. The greatest Christmas miracle of all is a miracle in which each and every one of us has a part. So it was that faithful Simeon, when he held the Christ child in his arms, could say,
"Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and raised up for us a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to his seed forever.
For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
God, gracious Father, who in the fullness of time did send thy Son to assume our flesh and become our brother, we thank thee for thy truth and fatherly goodness in giving us this Savior, by whose birth we are delivered from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And we implore thee to keep us until the end in the true knowledge of our Redeemer, so that with all the holy angels we may rejoice at his birth, and behold him together with you and the Holy Ghost in glory and majesty, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us, and he is with us still. For though he is ascended to heaven, not even the heavens of heaven can contain him. Surely in temples made with hands, God the Most High is not dwelling. He whom the heavens cannot contain chose to abide on earth with men and build in our bodies his temple. He has promised us that he, our Lord and Redeemer, is with us always, even until the end of the world. Let us then go forth with the miracles of Christmas in our minds and Christmas joy on our lips and in our heart, and with Jesus Christ in our hearts. Thank you. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.